Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome, welcome, welcome into the Sunday morning adult discussion group here at Wings Christian Fellowship. You know what we like to do here, talk about our Lord. So let's start with a prayer. Clyde, I'm feeling you wanting to pray.
Precious Lord, we thank you for your presence. We thank you everything that you've ever started in creation, you're going to finish.
Amen.
Because, Father, you do all things well.
Amen.
We don't have to know anything about the ride or the walk, but, Father, we just got to talk it and walk it. And we get to, because you're within us. You're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Be glorified in this class. May those that listen have a participation of the Holy Spirit with them. That, Lord, we would know that, Lord, you are in control. So, Father, be glorified here this morning. May we lift the name of Jesus high and above all, because you are worthy of glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, last week I think we got well into chapter 10 of Matthew, and I think the last thing that we were talking about was beware of men. This is in chapter 10 where Jesus sends the disciples out two by two. Tells them, don't even take a change of sandals or, you know, cloaks or whatever. Just go out and trust God to fulfill every need. And he anointed them with the gift of healings and miracles and workings. And he said, don't go to the Gentiles yet. Go among the lost tribes, our very own lost folks here in the family of Israel. And so they did. And he said, starting at 16, he said, but it's going to be a hard road. He says, you know, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves, which is difficult to do, both at the same time. You know, on Monday you can be one, and on Thursday be something else, but it's hard to be the both at the same time. And, you know, that takes a lot of observing, but not reacting. If you're going to be as wise as a serpent and as harmless as a dove, you have to learn how to do the pause in between the seeing and the speaking and the reacting. Never react until you have God's complete word to give. He says, you know, don't even think about what you're going to say, because in that very moment, I will give you the words to say. And so that takes us down to around, I'd say 20, because it is, when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given to you at that same hour what ye shall speak. I think that is the epitome of faith. You know, walking in that kind of a situation where you have to be as wise as a serpent and as harmless as a dove, be careful what to say and what not to say, and trust God all of the time that he will give you every word that proceeds out of your mouth. Clyde?
I'm thinking these aren't words that we would defend ourselves. I think the only time that words probably could come out of our mouth that are not covered with mercy is when we try to defend ourselves. I'm thinking here it says at 19, but when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour or what you shall speak.
20.
We hear that.
Yeah.
Does that mean we wait on that?
Yes.
I think it's a waiting process.
Yes.
We're waiting on the Holy Spirit to give his guidance. And I'm trying to think what you said one time, Oscar. Something about we check to make sure we're not putting something out there that would be offensive. You know, we're kind of holding back what the natural man would think. because the natural man can cause them a lot of turmoil. But, well, 20, for it is not yet ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And that's some good teaching right there.
Yes. Wasn't it Jesus who said, I only do what I see my Father do. I only speak what I see I hear my Father speak.
Well, once again, this is a lot like, to me, this is a good verse to go with James. Be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. I think that puts us in a waiting position to wait on his voice. My sheep know my voice, and none other will they follow.
You know, and it also puts you in a position to not really care what people think of you, because when people do something to incite you or do something to get a rise out of you, and you just kind of sit there and you're just waiting. You're not answering. You're not doing anything. You're just waiting on the Lord to give you the next word to come out of your mouth. It's humbling. But this is where we could start reading today, I think, at 21. Kind of goes, I think we stopped right around 19 or 20, unless you guys want to talk about 19 and 20 a little bit more. Probably talk about it forever. No?
Okay, we stopped at 20 when I read it last.
Let's start at 21 and read just at 21, 22, and 23. Right now. Maybe we'll do a little more later. Good morning, Bren.
Good morning. Brother will deliver a mother.
Brother.
Brother will deliver a brother to death, and the father his child, and children will take a stand against their parents and will have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who perseveres and endures to the end will be saved from spiritual disease and death in the world to come. Now, when they persecute in one town, that is, pursue you in a manner that would injure you and cause you to suffer because of your belief, flee to another town, for truly I tell you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. You said yes.
That's some training. Long-lasting prophecy right there. It shows you that he's really talking about something much bigger, much more important than what's going to happen to these pairs of disciples that are going out, you know, for this short time to heal and declare the coming kingdom of the Lord. This is something big, real big. So let's talk about that a little bit. Because it really, these three verses really, they trouble me. I wonder if they already happened back in that time. I wonder if they are happening now. And I also wonder, good heavens, I hope they're not going to happen in the future. Anybody got anything they want to talk about there?
Well, I'll say this. I think that it is happening now, not so much in the spiritual realm, but in the political realm, where people are so divisive against each other. It's the same thing. You turn on your relatives, you turn on your brother, you turn on, you know. And I think that's part of what this is saying.
I know that my two brothers, my younger brother here in Cincinnati and my older brother out in California, who did I hear this from? I don't know, it doesn't matter. It was a good thing there was 2,500 miles between them, because if there had not been, there would have been hitting and fist fighting going on over political things right now. And we do have that going on. Brother shall be against brother, children against parents, parents against children. And it's been something that's plagued man since the beginning. And I think maybe that could be what's going to bring us. When they see how we love one another, that's when the world will believe. It hasn't, it's not now. This isn't the time that's happening. Clyde?
I was thinking, I think we have many, many, many opportunities to choose wisely, and we don't. I think when we could be the answer to a problem or a solution to a problem, we don't step up to be that. We almost want to step up and be the argument. I don't want to be the argument. There's too many scriptures. Like, I love Romans 8 chapter. What shall separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus? The answer is no. Nothing. But yet, if we ignore that, the importance of that scripture, which is to bind us to be one together, that's why that scripture is there, is to bind us to be one. If we ignore that, then how will the world and how will our loved ones ever know about a oneness? I mean, I just think that we need to be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath, because we're not here to stir things up. We're supposed to be peacemakers. Doesn't it say, blessed be the peacemakers, for they what? Shall be, aren't they the children of God?
That's right.
Well, that's one of the examples that we get to be. I mean, people, you know, I mean, I know we're all getting older, but the thing is, it doesn't matter how old you are. What matters is, how important it is that the world through you see Jesus and see him in you. How important is that? That should be very important. Jesus thought it was important enough that he died for us.
Well, even what I said about the political stuff, even the denominations of the church, you know, all the different churches, you know, we're right and you're wrong, and who's to say who's right and who's wrong? Only God. And you know, I like it when I went back to 20, where it says, but when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. You know, you can say something in more than one vernacular. You know, it's can you say it with peace, or can you say it with anger, or can you say it with disgust, or, you know, and that's why we have to rely on the Lord on what we have to say, how we say it.
What was that one time you were telling us that, and I know we've heard it before, but it's good, about this one preacher that went into that church and they had all their list on the wall.
Yeah.
He said, you know, I could start talking.
You know who that was? It was Fred O'Dell.
Fred O'Dell, yeah.
And he said that he was talking about he could go into a church and they could have their creed, you know, on a plaque up in front of the church. And he said, I could preach on the anointing of the Holy Spirit and tear every one of them down.
And they'd be amen. And
they'd be amen and praise the Lord, yeah.
Yeah, that's
he
right.
Said, but if I went in there and said, hey, number two up there on that board, he said, then the fight's on, basically.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The whole point about it is, with your brothers and your sisters, is, you know, this even back in that day, that word was fulfilled to a certain extent, because you know, Jesus said one time they came to him and they said, Lord, your mother and your brethren, they stand without desiring to speak with you. And what did he say? Who is my mother and who is my brother?
Yeah.
You know, he said, you know, basically he said, they that hear the word of God,
yes,
keep it to obey it or whatever, same as my mother and my brother and all that. So you have to realize that even in that day, the Jews, you know, what was Paul doing with Stephen? He was there watching him be stoned to death.
Yep.
Because what? He was, because he was a Christian, because he loved the Lord. And he had expounded to them Jesus from Genesis all the way up in front of all of them. And you know what the bad thing about it is? Is they knew what he was saying was the truth, but they chose not to receive the truth. There's a difference there.
Yep.
And when you let the traditions of the elders or the legalistic thing of religion out there, and when I say that, I'm talking about denominational things and all that kind of stuff. You know, I went to a singing one time at this church, and this group was singing, and they were very anointed. I mean, they were anointed. You know, I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, praise the Lord, this is good. You know, and you know, this brother gets up after they're done, the minister, and says something about, they're pretty good, but too bad they're not Nazarene, he said. And I thought, oh, God, what would you say something like that for? You know, I'm sitting there thinking, why more would you even say that? You know, because people get so steeped in a certain thing
that the word of God,
that the word of God becomes of no effect now, you know. And you know, that stuff was happening even back then. You know, when Paul was given letters to go and arrest people who were Christians, you know, and they were stoned to death, and he was, you know, they were going to kill him. I mean, that's what
right in the middle of it, wasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, that was brother going against brother. You know what I mean? They all were Jews. They were brothers and sisters, basically. You know, all came from the same line of Abraham. And if we take that in, then basically just about everybody out there in the world is our brother or our sister, you know. And, you know, the Lord gave me that poem one time years ago. It says, seems that man is always talking about himself. He talks about his good deeds and he talks about his wealth. He talks about the wonderful things that he has said and done, but he talks about his neighbor with words I hear will shun. Seems that man can see the fault in everyone around, but he can't see his own reflection. It's nowhere to be found. Oh, that God would open our eyes that we might truly see that we're no better than our brother or our neighbor, whoever our neighbor might be.
That's true.
And help us learn to look at ourselves before we judge any other and know that in the eyes of God, that one is even our brother, you know. And when in that context, everyone out there is your brother, you know. And you know, we basically have to realize that, you know, we can kill our brother through just the words that we say, through the things that we do. We don't have to physically kill him, but we can kill him because we cut ourselves off from him because they disagree with us, like Mike was saying, politically or whatever, you know. And you know, there's a lot of things out there trying to create division, you know. Mm-hmm. And God's not a God of division. He's a God of wanting us to be at one with Him. Mm-hmm. But we're going to be divisive towards each other if we're not one with Him. If you're not one with Him, you can't be one with your brother too much. You know what I mean? And it's just one of them things that were, a lot of this was being fulfilled back in that day, and it's been being fulfilled up until this day. Mm-hmm. You know. Children today are, I don't know if any of you have been around younger people or not that much. And I mean, you know, if you have, then you'll know what I'm talking about. Children today do not give the respect to older people that they used to years ago. You know, and you know, it's kind of funny. We had my niece and not my niece. My granddaughter and her boyfriend was there at my house a while back. And I've noticed sometimes when I say something, or when Margaret says something, you know, without them actually saying anything, but we even get this sometimes from our daughter once in a while. I'll tell you that, being perfectly honest with you, you get a look like, third is old or something, you know, that kind of, you get that. I pick up on discernment. I have a very strong sense of discernment when I'm dealing with people. I can pretty well tell where they're at, you know what I mean? And funny thing was, is they was at the house the other day, and I had a shoehorn laying there, a long shoehorn, you know, and they says, "What is that?" I said, "It's a shoehorn." They said, "What's a shoehorn?" Like, you know, like I was making this up or something. I said, "Well, I'll show you." And I took my shoe off and I sat down and I said, "It's for putting your shoe on." And I showed him. And I felt like saying, you know, guys, you don't know everything. I know you think you do because you're young. We know and have seen and done things that you'll never see or you'll never do in our lifetime, you know what I mean. Yeah. We've been exposed to things. When you're 70 years old, we were almost back pretty close to when they started making cars and when they started doing a lot of this stuff before any of this was around. I mean, you show a kid nowadays, you show them an old telephone, they don't know what that thing is. What's a dial? What's that thing? What's that, something you count numbers with or something? You know? And you know, we know things and have experience. That's one reason why I've always, even when I was young, I loved to talk to old people. Mm-hmm. I always loved to talk to old people because I knew that they knew things I didn't know.
Yeah.
They had experienced things that I never experienced because it had already ran its course, you know, that whatever it was. And, you know, but it's kind of funny because young people do have a tendency that they're rebellious. And they're very rebellious towards older people until they get in a bind. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When they get in trouble, then they come to an old person and say, "Hey, what do I do here? What do I do there? You help me. Will you help me?" That's right. And then you have to step up and give them a hand. But, but you know, all of this stuff had been going on, and it's still going on, and it'll probably get worse before it gets better, chances are. But it's been going on for a long time. But this generation today does not really respect old people very much, you know. They feel like we're just sort of, what do you know, that kind of thing, you know.
We surpassed you and all this stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And well, it's a good thing you didn't bring out a button hook for your shoes.
Well, see, this shoehorn I have is about that long. And like these shoes I have on here, these are not slip-on type shoes, yeah. You know. And it's actually bent a little bit so that you can hold it and stick it down in your shoe and put your foot in there and slide right in there, yeah. You know. But, you know, but the funny thing is that I had to bite my tongue to keep from saying, you know, you guys don't know everything. You know, you think you do, but you don't.
It's probably been hurt for you this fact.
You know, yeah.
You know, it's funny because these shoes they make now, slip pants.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Where they get that technology at?
Yeah.
Okay. My question to them would have been, what do you think it is?
Well, they didn't have a clue. They didn't have a clue what it was. See. And but you know, and I've noticed sometimes when kids used to get sick, you know, like grandkids or something, Margaret or somebody might get a call, or I'm sure Debbie probably did too, might get a call from somebody and say, you know, this or that, you know, what should I do here, you know. And a lot of the old stuff works better than a lot of the new stuff. When Jennifer was real little, she got really sick one time. I mean, she's just a little baby, and she got really sick, and she was running this really high fever, like, you know, 104, 105, stuff like that. So Margaret calls up she actually had a pediatrician for a while that had been my doctor when I was a kid. And when I had those seizures, he was one of the only doctors around that really knew anything about that hardly. He was actually, they recommended him to me, to us. I was 9 years old when I started having seizures. But anyway, so she got Dr. Wagner, was his name. And Dr. Wagner, she called him, Margaret called him up, and she says, you know, Jennifer's running a high fever, should I take her to the hospital? He said, no. He said, that's the worst place in the world you can take that little baby. Mm-hmm. He says, lay her down on the thing, keep her covered up. He says, take some water, warm water, and pour alcohol in it. Not a ton of alcohol, a little bit of alcohol in it. He said, and sponge her off
yeah,
every so often, and then cover her back up when you do that. And it just sucked that heat right out of her, you know. And then it would come back, and he told her to keep doing that. And Margaret was a little bit upset with him at first because she said, well, I don't know, he didn't want me to bring her, you know. But see, it was wisdom, because he knows it's traumatic for a little baby. You take a little baby and dump them off at the hospital. Mm-hmm. That's super traumatic, you know. And they don't need to be away from you. They need to be a place where they're loved. And, you know, he was like that. And like, I think that was, she had took Jennifer to another pediatrician one time, and I think she took him back because we moved or something. And I think she took Jennifer back to, I'm pretty sure it was to Dr. Wagner. And anyway, he told Martin, he said, she's tongue-tied. And she'd been going to another pediatrician for a long time. He never said anything. He said, she's tongue-tied. He says, I can fix that. He pulled her tongue up and clipped it.
Yeah.
He creeped that thing, the thing on, he pulled her tongue up and clipped it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And Mark, you know, she cried when he did it. You know, Mark,
she's,
I don't think she liked it real good that he did that. But you know what?
It worked.
That girl ain't never shut up since then. She ain't done that no more. She talked her ear off.
That's wonderful.
But I mean,
I think that's cool.
But he, you know, them old doctors, they knew stuff.
They knew how to do
stuff.
They
knew stuff,
yes.
But, you know.
And they knew about treating the disease and not treating the symptoms.
And also,
yes,
they were wise enough to know that the hospital, well, I'll tell you this, when Margaret's father was in the hospital and he went in to have a hip replacement, and he'd had one before. And he got in there, and they shouldn't have done the surgery on him because he had had pneumonia and stuff, you know, like only a couple weeks earlier than that. And the real good doctor who did his first hip replacement said, no, I won't operate on you. He said, because, you know, I don't trust your heart and everything right now. You know, so he said, I won't do it. He went found, searched around until he found somebody that would do it. Well, he got in there, and his lung collapsed, and this happened, something else happened. And, you know,
died on the table.
And then he just kept rolling downhill, and, mm-hmm, you know, eventually he died, but he was in there for over 30-something days, mm-hmm, in intensive care and all that stuff. Well, we had a meeting with the hospital, you know, because they weren't telling us anything, you know. And this doctor came down from the hospital, and he says, I'm going to tell you something that nobody will ever tell you. He says, well, if you're sick, worst place you could be is in the hospital. Mm-hmm. He says, there's more germs and more things in here that could get you than anything else. He says, you know, I can't tell people that. He said, but I'll tell you guys that, you know, basically, because, you know, he just kept having things just tumbling downhill. Mm-hmm. And he ended up dying. But you know, he actually said, he said, one of the worst places you can be when you're really sick is in the hospital. So, but Dr. Wagner, you know, with Jennifer at that time, I mean, he told Martin, he said, just strip her off, take all her clothes off, just cover her, get warm water, and pour some alcohol in it. Not a lot, but pour some alcohol in it. And he said, and
just
sponging her down. You sponge her down, let her temperature go down. Mm-hmm. When it starts raising back up, sponge her down again. And she did that, and she was fine, you know. I mean, we could, you know, if it took her to the hospital, they might have dumped her in ice or no telling what they would have done to her, you know, back then, you know, because.
That's what they did to Charles.
Yeah.
High fever, ice.
Yeah.
Do you know what amazed me? Is the Indians.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I believe they lived longer than the.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the herbs and dirt, yeah.
Well, they were, a lot of the people, a lot of stuff worked. I mean, them old, where do you, you know, all that stuff that we get in medicine, where do you think a lot of that comes from?
Herbs.
It comes from herbs and stuff out in the weeds and all that stuff.
I remember my dad telling me, was it my mom, was telling me about one of my sisters that had worms and the doctor didn't know what to do. And she was all bloated. And I guess by God's hand that this Indian came to our house.
Mm.
This is probably before I was born.
Yeah.
And he looked at my sister and said, girl got a worm. So he told my dad what to do. Told my dad to go out, find a mare that just had a foal and get her milk and give it to her.
Uh-huh.
And when he did that, she threw up all this green stuff. She got well.
Yeah, see that.
The Indians amazed me, I tell you.
That's right. And a lot of times the old folks, they know stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Ain't no stuff that we don't know.
Take alcohol and put it on your finger and blow on it.
Yeah.
It cools it off, doesn't it? Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. If you just pour alcohol on you, and it'll start evaporating, and it evaporates quick, and it just draws the heat out.
But I know yeah. The people used to take alcohol, like if they had pain in their arms and stuff,
yeah.
And rub it on there.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Well, that was what he told her. When she called him, told him, he said, no, he said, you don't need to bring her in, he said.
Yeah.
He said, you need to watch her temperature and keep it down. And every time she'd sponge Jennifer down and then check her temperature, it would be back down, you know. But then eventually it would rise back up and then she'd do it again and it'd keep sucking it back down, you know. And it was controlling it, that's what it was doing. Well, a lot of people don't realize too, when you get a temperature, and we're getting off the subject here, but a lot of times when you get a temperature, temperature is there to kill whatever's in your body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it's actually good and bad at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
It's good because it will kill the germs or will kill whatever's trying to attack your body.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, you know, you can't let it get out of hand, because if it gets out of hand, then it will
go to
brain damage
system.
And stuff. Yeah.
And that's sort of a warning system, temperature.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Okay.
But, you know, anyway.
Do you want to read on a little bit more? Three more verses? It has to do with discipleship.
Go ahead.
Servant.
24, 25, 26. A disciple is not above the teacher, nor is a servant or slave above his master. It is sufficient for the disciple to be like his teacher, and the servant or slave like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, master of the dwelling, how much more will they speak evil of those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is concealed that will not be revealed, or kept secret that will not become known. Stop there.
I don't know. I like 27 and 28 a lot.
What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light. And what you hear whispered in the ear, proclaim up on the housetops. And do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. But rather be afraid of him who can destroy both soul and body in hell.
Do you think, is this Jesus speaking when he says, what I tell you in darkness,
yeah,
that speak ye in the light?
Jesus,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's all that's read.
Mm.
How important is it, do you think, that what he tells us that we should tell on the rooftops?
Yeah.
I think he's trying to tell us that the word needs to be spread.
Yeah.
And you're my vessel. You're the vessel I choose to spread it. That's a tremendous word right there.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Well, it says in right in the verse before. 4, fear them not therefore. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and nothing hid that shall not be known. There's still a lot hidden.
Well, then he starts telling us how important we are. He starts talking about the sparrows, and he said not one of them will fall that they don't see.
Yes.
Then he starts talking, well, if that's not close enough, let me get it into your hair.
Mm-hmm.
Then he starts talking about your hair.
Mm-hmm.
And he's trying to tell us that every part of mankind, his creation, is important.
This is all so good.
There's when it talks about that darkness, it says darkness, properly the darkness, the want of daylight. It says unseen in secret, equivalent, and it says metaphorically used of ignorance of divine things. And so there's a lot of people in darkness, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of people. A lot of religious folks are in darkness, and they don't realize that they are.
Yeah.
You know, because they don't understand that.
It is finished.
That they don't. they're ignorant of divine things, you know.
Well. Fear not them which kill the body.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you, when you get older, you start taking into heart things that you read and things that you say, oh, you got to take vitamin C. Oh, you got to take this. Oh, you got to take that. You want to keep, you know, and you get, I don't think it's so much that you get fearful, but you do want to do everything you can. And I think, I'm not saying this specifically, but I believe that the Lord is trying to tell me, don't worry about the body. You know, you spend so much time, you spend so much money taking this pill, that pill, this pill, that pill. And I'm not talking about things that, you know, you actually need that. But this vitamin, that vitamin, oh gosh, and then you need this, and then you need that. Because you put yourself back under the law. You're putting yourself under the law of man.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you gotta do this before noon every day. You know, you gotta eat this food and not that food. You gotta do this and not that. All for what? For your body. And does not the Bible say that the flesh is enmity with God? And I know the flesh and the body aren't the same exact thing. But these bodies are not what we should be concerned with. Good heavens, he says, don't be afraid of if they kill your body. Be afraid if they kill your soul, you know? Your body and soul.
But they can't kill my soul. But rather him who can destroy both soul and body.
But the very hairs of your head are all numbered.
Do you want me to read further?
Let's read down to 10:31.
Are not two little sparrows sowed for a penny, and yet not one of them will fall to the ground without your father leave consent and notice? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not then. You are of more value than many sparrows.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, everyone who acknowledges me before men and confesses me out of a state of oneness with me, that's what he wants, is oneness, I will also acknowledge him before my Father who is in heaven and confess that I am abiding in him. But whoever denies and disowns me before men, I also will deny and disown him before my Father who is in heaven.
That's beautiful. Will you read that one before 32 again? Because I love the way that it doesn't kind of sound the same. 32, yes.
Therefore, everyone who acknowledges me before men and confesses me out of a state of oneness with me.
The state of oneness with me.
I will also acknowledge him before my Father who is in heaven and confess that I am abiding in him. But whoever denies and disown me before men, I also will deny and disown him before my Father who is in heaven.
Beautiful.
You want me to go on?
Just, I think I want to talk a little bit about, we'll confess that we are at oneness with him.
Yes.
I will not give my glory to another. You know, we are not another. Christ in you, the hope of glory. We are one with him and he is one with us. Who shall we fear? What shall we fear? And yet we die like men. You know, just, there's such a contradiction in what we confess to be. And the knowledge within us, the identity, have we forgotten who we truly are? That we need to keep that priority right up front here in our brain. We are in him and he is in us. Somebody say that really eloquently. Talk about it a little bit for me.
That's like what, and nothing can separate us as Clyde was sharing, when you're sharing in Romans 8.
Yeah.
Nothing can separate us.
You know, a lot of times, I mean, people go like, oh, that shouldn't be said here and all this other stuff. I'll tell you what. Tell me God don't know how to put line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, and how to bring everything together. I mean, I think with us, it would be an adventure, but it would be a nervous adventure because we wouldn't know who to put next to each other and stuff like that. God knows exactly who to put in the right place. He can bring harmony out of chaos. He can set it at ease everybody that wants to bring fists and have open hands. He finishes that which he starts. And I think the body of Christ, that is really us looking for the finish in us. Christ's going to finish what he started in us. We're going to give up the attitude where, I don't know, there's only I think there's just so much I need to yet do. And I go like this, and that yet part is probably to give up. I mean, I ain't kidding you. I think sometimes, you know, what was the old saying that the guy was holding on to the branch and he's hanging up there and holding on to the branch and he's asking, God, can you help me? He said, let go of the branch. Well, that might sound funny, but the truth is God wants us to let go of that which we're holding on that's not his branch, not him being the branch. And when we do, we find out he is our help. When's he our help? What's the scripture say? When's he our help? He said, in the time of our weakness, he uses our weakness to make us strong, doesn't he? I mean, really, he does.
Mm-hmm. In the time of our sorrow, he comforts us. He's everything. You know what? This picture came to me while you were talking, Clyde, about one of these high British lovely tables where the butler would come in and he would measure, you know, all the everything was perfect. And they'd put down the name tags for all the people who were invited to this big feast. And then I saw the lord of the house, the lord of the manor, came in and he's looking around and kind of picks up this name tag and looks around. He picks it up, puts it here. He knows who to put next to each other.
Right.
He knows how to have harmony. he knows, oh, no, let's, oh, yeah, let's put it here, let's put this one.
You know, I would take it, God knows exactly what brother or sister we need to be brother and sister of. I think he needs, he knows that the body of Christ that we need to stay in contact with and married, and married, actually married, joint one to the other, we're one in the body. I think that his primary ideal is to set all men free, and to set all men free, you gotta have liberty, and liberty is among the people that believe, and the people that refuse to let anything come between us and separate us from the love of God. I mean, I'm sure, without a doubt, death does not separate us from the love of God. And, you know, the Lord's been dealing with me so much about death. I see death and I go like this. That's not the end. That is not the end. It's the end of right here. But I'll tell you what, but the kingdom of God is more than right here. It's more than clothes and more than food. More than home. I think the kingdom of God is us. And I think that's why we need to tell each other how much we value one another. I appreciate the Christ in you. Christ in you. It's still the hope of glory.
What is anything other than the Christ in you?
Yesterday, there's a group that Tobias and I went, they meet once a month, and that's when I called Debbie, was talking to her and Clyde, and then we went there and we had prayer, and we were singing a song, and in the song, the word came to, anyway, I said, the word came, I sang portion, which was not a part of that, it was another word that was supposed to be there. So I was curious as what exactly does portion mean. And on here it says, in other versions of the Bible, portion is translated as inheritance. And when these writers say the Lord is their portion, they mean that he is their allotment, their inheritance, their source of security, their very hope, and which is so, and we say, he is my portion, really my all, my everything, my rock, my stone. Is my portion, and he is all that I want. He is well worth living for. So true.
The Lord is my all in all.
Yes.
And we stop and think about what that is. He's my all, and he is in all.
Yes.
And how many is all? We are not another. And none of our brothers or sisters are others. We just have to have the discernment to understand that.
My ears are hearing, and he shall reign forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And he shall reign forever and ever. You know, a lot of songs got us through a lot of things.
I wish
God wants us to have songs. He wants us to have praise. He wants us to know the very song in our heart is him. Because he lives, we can face what? Tomorrow.
Is that another group? I've never seen that. Because he is.
The Lord is my all in all.
My brother finally got that. I told him that song that I'd been singing and listening to for 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And he goes like this, he said, man, he said, I don't know. He said, I had to fight the devil to even allow me to listen to that thing. I said, why is that? He said, because it kept switching and I had to be determined that I was going to listen to that word. I said, it is that word. Come Jesus, come by, who did I tell you what?
He said, CeCe Winans.
Yeah,
that's a great song.
I said, that's 5 minutes. And I said, that's 5 minutes of glory.
I've never heard it.
And today might be the day. Oh, man. It's like those graves that you tell them they're all going to open up. They're turning around, if they're out in the graveyard, they're turning around seeing them holes opening up anywhere. Wow. I ain't kidding you. It shakes them up. They're not prepared to hear that. But you know what? They better prepare to know that. That's the truth. I believe it's the truth.
I've heard some people say, I'm not going to get cremated because they talk about the grave. when that body died, you left it.
Well, I heard, who was that I was telling you, Oscar, brother, Jeremiah, what was his name? Brother David Jeremiah. And they said, he told the congregation, he said, yeah, I was having trouble with that old cremation. And he goes like this. And he said, I sat there one night in my chair and I closed my eyes and said, Lord, what is it about cremation? He goes like this. It's about people doubting that I still have the ability to put every part of you back together. And he goes like this. He said, I'm still the God that's spoken into existence. He said, don't you know I'm still the God that keeps it in existence? He goes like this. That kind of straightened me out. He goes like this. If you're getting cremated, that's okay. He goes like this, because nothing's too hard for God.
Well, is it a good place to start? Where should we start? Let's start at 32. Everybody except Clyde.
No, he knows where my hair is too.
He's got some hair on his eyebrow.
He's actually got some hair on his head. But
my surgeon come in and said something about it. He said, I think the very hairs of your head's numbered. And I go like this, well, you ought to know. Ball is complete.
Who would like to pray?
Praise the Lord.
Mike, would you pray?
Father, thank you for this opportunity to gather again today in your name. Just to listen to your word and just to discuss your word and to reveal to us what we need to hear.
Yes, Father.
And Father, we just want to give you all praise and glory for this day and all the days that you give us ahead of time. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.